Thank you for Pilgrim's Progress. Thank you that as we look at this book, it is helpful for us. It's only helpful though because we know that one of your lovely servants, John Bunyan, wrote it, and he wrote it with a full understanding of your word. And thank you that as we read this story, we can't help but see the importance of faith in Jesus and walking along the path that Christ has set for us. There's less good lessons for us here tonight. We ask that you'd help us to see them, not just from this story, but as it says it in the Bible. And may you teach us and encourage us as we look at your word tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just put that there. All right, so tonight I'm going to break it up in this chapter to three sections. When Christian is on the path, there's death and hope. And then along the path, there's dangers and delights. And then off the path, at the end of that chapter, there is despair and doubt. Now, we're not going to get into that one too much because that's going to be explained a lot next week in the next chapter. So let's consider these things. In the previous chapter, Christian and Faithful, they hadn't left the path. They had stayed on the right path, and yet that right path led them through a place called Vanity Fair. And in that place called Vanity Fair, one of them would experience, and as we read tonight, experience martyrdom. They died for their faith. And I want you to realize that even if we don't stray from the path of Christ, even if we stay right on it, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy. We will, even on the path, find ourselves going through great trials and troubles. Isn't that right? And that's what the Bible declares to us. I have a few verses to read. I know there's one in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." Peter is speaking to Christians who are really being persecuted and going through various trials. They haven't gone off the track. Like, it's not that they're having trials as a punishment or a discipline, they're on the track, and yet they are experiencing trials and troubles. And there's also another passage I can't help but think of in Philippians chapter 1, 29 and 30, where it says these words, "For to you," talking to Christians, Paul says, "for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Wow. It's been appointed for you to go through that. God's not mean though, it's just that that's what is happening to us on this side of heaven. Now, even though it looks bad news to Faithful, Faithful's death was indeed a terrible travesty of justice and a very cruel act. But to those who could really see, what was it really? It was a triumphant death. And in Pilgrim's Progress, it's highlighted to be very triumphant. It's got that sort of language that we remember of Elijah being caught up in a chariot of fire. He's ascending to heaven. And I can't help but think of the martyrdom of Stephen in the book of Acts. You know, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, the same story. You have all these religious leaders. They are frothing at the mouth. They are raging with anger. They come against Stephen to kill him. And you can't help but see Stephen's face is like an angel. He sees Jesus standing before the throne and he is ushered into heaven. So one side of humanity will just see a shocking death. The other side who have faith see a triumphant death. And God says to us in Psalm 116 verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God sees it from a very different perspective. We're getting promoted. We're going to heaven. So it's lovely to remember that. Despite the things that can happen. I also want for you to think about that, you know, consider God's sovereignty. In this story, in this chapter, we find out that Christian actually ends up escaping, but Faithful doesn't. And we see the same in the Bible. In the book of Acts, we see the apostle Peter miraculously escaping out of prison. Do you remember that story? He thinks he's dreaming. This angel's come and opening the doors, breaking the chains, and he's just going through. But James, he gets killed. And Stephen also gets killed. And we just need to remember, there's no favorites here. God is sovereign, and He has a time for us all to be on earth, and it's up to Him whether He chooses to miraculously let us escape from danger, or perhaps it's our time to go home to glory. But God is still sovereign, no matter what it is. And we've got to remember that. So even in this story, we see that Christian is spared, but faithful isn't spared. Don't forget, I like that other, what's that verse? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. When it comes to Christians and death, how does it go? Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes we might just know that verse and say it, but we've got to really know it. You know, we've got to actually realize that's a reality. Because otherwise, death will freak us out. If we're a Christian, death is gain. Now, Christian comes to meet a new friend in Hopeful. And he came to be a pilgrim how? He became to be a pilgrim by witnessing the changed and different lives of Christian and Faithful. And he began to realize that they were true and what they believed is true. How many times has that happened? Now, I know the Bible doesn't say this. It doesn't explain it, but we know that Paul was there when Stephen was being martyred. And I know many of us think, you know, we wonder, that must have probably had an impact on Paul when he saw a man shining like an angel in the face of death. And we need to remember that even when we go through trials, it might not be death. When we go through trials, we have an opportunity to show to the world how we are different because of the Jesus who lives in us. And that can be powerfully used by God to bring people to Jesus. Last night we heard a story of a lady who shared her testimony how she became a Christian on the very day when her brother had died. And in that dark moment in time, she heard a person tell her that he didn't die because he was worse or anything, but he believed in Jesus and would be going to heaven. And this lady shared how his death and finding out how he loved her, all these things God used to enable this lady to become a Christian. It's quite an amazing story we heard. But God can use our very sad situations to bring us to Christ. And so that's what happened to Hopeful. That's happened in the Bible a fair bit. You know, Paul and Silas, they're in prison and they're praising God and all those things. And you got the prisoners listening. And then the Philippian jailer, he gets so challenged by Paul and Silas that he's asking them, what must I do to be saved? So just be encouraged that even if we go through tough things, God can use the challenges of life to help us shine Jesus and to help other people come to know the Lord. That's pretty special, isn't it? That's happened again and again over the centuries in regard to people who have even laid down their life of others becoming Christians. So Faithful has passed away and gone to glory, but Hopeful becomes a new friend to Christian. And I just want to get you to think about this. John Bunyan writes about these two companions for Christian. He doesn't have any others. He has Faithful and he has Hopeful. And I actually started to think about that, realizing there is a little message in that. In the first half of our Christian life, we need to grow in faith. It's the predominant thing we need. We need to grow in faith that we might not turn back. We might have confidence in Christ. We need to do work on that. Read the Bible and go to church and all those things. But it is true that in the second half of our Christian life, we've got to still hold on to Jesus. But I find that hope becomes a bigger thing. Yep, faith is locked in, but the hope we have in Christ is so important. I can't help but see that's what John Bunyan's done. In the first half of Christian's life, faithfulness. Faith is really important. But in the second half, it's hope. And we'll see this man called Hopeful, who stands for hope, coming into the story a lot. All right, so let's now look at the middle part of this chapter. And I've got it entitled, Along the Path, Dangers and Delights. Now, first thing I like to see in this book is that John Bunyan describes the path to the heavenly city as the something highway, the King's Highway. And I must admit, when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's a great title for the narrow road of Christ. It's narrow, it's tough, but after all said and done, it's the King's Highway. I thought, what a fitting description. Why is it the King's Highway? It's the King's Highway because it's the way that the King has set for us to go to heaven. He saved us through his blood, and then he tells us the path we are to go, and we know where it's heading. The King has set this path for us. It's the King's Highway. And what a privilege it is to walk on it, even if it's narrow, even if it's tough. You know, the other option is the broad road. And we know where that's heading. It's heading to hell. And though many people are on it, that's not the one to be on. So if you're a Christian, I know many of you are, we're on the King's Highway. That should fill our heart with joy. Be excited. The King's Highway. And Jesus has paved that path for us. Well, along the path, a Christian and hopeful meet a man called Demas. What had Demas done? Pretty quick to find out that he has gone off the path. Just off the path a bit. And why had he gone off the path? He was pursuing something. Just off the path, what was he pursuing? Silver. Worldly treasure. Yes. Now, Demas had gone off the path, and in Pilgrim's Progress, it's made very clear that on the path, this period on the path is called the Plain of Ease. What do you reckon the association is with the Plain of Ease? And now Demas off the path, pursuing worldly pleasure. There's a link, isn't there? When we are on the Plain of Ease, when things are easy, no sweat, no trials and troubles, what do we often do? Get our eyes off the Lord and get drawn to other things. So this is the picture in this chapter. In the Plain of Ease, be careful that you don't get drawn away to things that will take you off the path. So that's like we say with Pilgrim's Progress, many great pictures here, lessons for us to learn. It's also interesting that John Bunyan uses the name Demas for the man who had gone off the path to seek worldly treasure and has other names. His father is named Judas and his grandfather is named Gehazi. And if you know anything in the Bible about these names, all these names are associated with men in the Bible who left the path in order to have worldly treasure or because of greed. Because of greed. Demas was a friend of Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, Paul writes, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. And not just Paul, but the faith. Wow, it happens. Because he loved this world. What about this man called Gehazi? Well, you read about him in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's the story where Elijah miraculously by God heals Naaman, this Syrian warrior who had leprosy. And he had brought all these things, money and change of clothes and all this stuff to reward Elijah if he was healed. And he was healed, but Elijah took none of it. And then Naaman dismissed him and he went home. He had become a believer in the God of Israel. And as he's going home, Gehazi, in his greed, took off after him and said, oh, Elijah's changed his mind, which is all lies. He wants a bit of silver and all this sort of stuff and some change of clothes. And Gehazi went off the path because of his greed. And because Elijah's a prophet, when Gehazi came back, he said, oh, so, Gehazi, where have you been? Oh, nowhere. And then he told him exactly what he had done. And Gehazi ends up getting the leprosy. Yeah, don't go off the path. Don't let greed get hold of you. And of course, the other one mentioned here in Pilgrim's Progress is Judas. Why is he mentioned? Well, Judas was not just the betrayer of Jesus. We also read, especially in John's Gospel, that he was a man of greed as well. And in actual fact, in John chapter 12, in verses 3 to 6, let's have a read of that. It says here, Mary, that's the Mary who is sister to Martha and sister to Lazarus. Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Wow, did you know that about Judas? He had a greedy heart too. He went off the path. So in Pilgrim's Progress, those names are brought into the story. Demas, Gehazi, and Judas. And they all serve as lessons to us. Do not allow worldly treasure and pleasure. Do not allow greed to come into your heart, because it will take you off the King's highway, off the right path. I also notice in this story, and I like how this is the case, you know, in the sense of this is reality. Do you notice that one of the two, Christian and Hopeful, one of them is drawn to it? And it's Hopeful. Hopeful is drawn by Demas' comments. You know, he's saying to Christian, "Well, hey, come on, we can just go off the path a bit and have it, check it out. Check out the silver mine." And you notice that Christian in this case is the one who's strong and tells Hopeful not to. And I love the fact that we need each other. You know, sometimes I'm weak and I need you to strengthen me. Or sometimes you're weak and I need to strengthen you. That's how it works. We've got to look out for each other. We're not strong as we think we are, and we need to support each other. That's really important. And Christian helps out Hopeful, and they both, as a result, escape from that dangerous place. But also during this time, after they leave the plain of ease, they come to a delightful place in this story, and a place where they drink water from the river of the water of life. And I just want you to be aware that this period of time on the path reminds me of how living as a Christian, it's not always trial and trouble. It's not always going through the valley of the shadow of death. Our good shepherd also allows us to have wonderful times too. We think of words like being refreshed and restored and all those things. This is all part of our good shepherd who does look after us. Have you noticed how that is found in the Psalm 23? Psalm 23 doesn't just say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." At the very beginning of Psalm 23, it speaks of pleasant times that our shepherd will lead us through. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Doesn't that describe this time that Christian and Hopeful are going through? Yes, and there are other times when it is the valley of the shadow of death. Yep. But we have to trust our shepherd that he knows the seasons we need. There are seasons where we are refreshed, and there's seasons when we are being, you know, it's just difficult. But he's always with us, and he also will never let us go through what we can't handle. That's a great promise. Yep. There is one phrase in this section that I love, because I remember Jesus spoke of this, and it is the phrase, "the river of the water of life." Last Sunday we mentioned this because of the day of Pentecost. Do you remember that great passage that Jesus, it's Jesus' words there in John chapter 7? He says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." There it is. What is this? Well, it's explained in John's gospel. This he spoke about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And along the path, there are times when we can drink deeply of the Spirit. In fact, every time we should be doing this, the river of the water of life. And when we drink of Christ's Spirit, we will find every thirst satisfied. We shall find joy and contentment. That's it. So that's how it should be. Drink well. Open your mouth and drink of the Spirit of the water of life. Jesus says, come. Come today. Come tomorrow. Come. Okay, we come now to the last part of the chapter tonight. I've just got it entitled, Off the Path. That's what happens. Off the path, and two words that come to mind when they're off the path, despair and doubt. Now, in all the chapters so far, they kept on the path. But now, something's going to happen. They go off the path. So, how did it happen? How did Christian, who seems to have been going really well, what caused him to go off the path? And it's he who does it, not hopeful. Well, you pick up in the story what happens. So Christian's just had a delightful time in that place called the Delightful Place, drinking from the river of the water of life, probably going through a spiritual high. And then he's going along the right path, and he's finding the right path not too delightful. It's stony. It's hard. His feet are hurting. Probably got blisters. You know, he's complaining. And not the eyes of faith, but human eyes. He sees this is the path I should be on. Not really drawn to it. Over here, on the other side, is soft ground. Beautiful grass. And so, but that's not just it. Yeah, I've got to keep on the right path. I'm heading to the heavenly city. What does he convince himself? He looks at this other path, a parallel path. It's heading in the same direction. So it's okay. Human logic. Leaning on your own understanding. He encourages Christian to go off the path. They're off the path. No matter how you justify, they're off the path. And so that's what happens. And, not only that, this often happens. You go off the path and they're encouraged to keep going off the path. Remember, they meet somebody called Vain Confidence. And Christian asks Vain Confidence about this path, and Vain Confidence, this man called Vain Confidence, says, yep, this path leads to the heavenly city. All is well. And what do you think Vain Confidence stands for? I don't know. People. Who encourage you to remain off the path. Even your own self-talk. Talking yourself into what you're doing is right when it's wrong. It's vain confidence. The only one that we are to listen to when it comes to the path to the heavenly city is none other than Jesus. We must listen to him. Don't listen to yourself or anybody else if they're encouraging you to go on another path. You must listen to Jesus. The one who came from heaven. And knows the way to heaven and paved the way for you to go to heaven through his death and resurrection. I don't know about you, but there's all these pictures here, isn't there? It's great, these stories. All right, so Christian and Hopeful, they're in trouble now. They listen to Vain Confidence and they're heading down this parallel path. And it begins to go away from the normal path. And I can imagine them thinking, oh, well, we can just go a little bit further, see how things go. We can always turn back. You know, you can always talk yourself into these things. Have you ever done that? Talk yourself into it. And then sure enough, circumstances happen. Bang! Big lightning storm comes. Thunder. And there's flooding and they can't go back and they've got to find a place to find safety. And then it all falls in a heap. They fall into a deep sleep and they get awakened by a giant for giant despair. They are on the wrong grounds. They are in big trouble. Things are really bad. I've read the next chapter, so I know what happens. I tell you what the way that John Bunyan writes this story is that he wants us to realize that Christian and Hopeful almost don't come back to the right path. We can put ourselves into shocking predicaments by our foolish choices. And it's interesting the language that John Bunyan uses here. He uses these two words, despair and doubt. So I don't know about you. I think many Christians go through at least a period in their life, maybe more than just once, where we experience great despair and we experience incredible doubt in regard to God and heaven and Jesus. And this is what this is a picture of. We've gone off the path, and then we just can't get our way back, and we just get into a terrible place of despair and despondency. We feel absolutely miserable. Christian felt guilty because he had brought his friend along as well. You're in a bad place, and you've become full of pity and just in a deep, deep hole. We could even call it a very depressed state. And there are many a Christian who has gone into that state. And the next chapter is going to be looking at how on earth did they get out of that. Thank you for your Bible. And as we've just seen tonight, all the things that we've been looking at tonight, we see these great truths in your own word. And I thank you for how your Bible's been given to us, not just to teach us about your great son and who he is and what he's done for us, but also about that walk of faith and the good times on it and the dangerous times on it and things that we need to be aware of. And just thinking of the things that we've looked at tonight, I ask that you would help us all as we have times going on this plane of ease, that you would help us in dangerous times not to get drawn to things that will take us off the path, especially the things of this world. Help us when things are going really easy, that we continue to listen to you and have your mind on the things around us, that we would have you giving us right perspective. And also I think of how we are tempted to go the easier road. Help us not to con ourselves into going on an easy road that isn't your road. Help us to remember it's important that we don't compromise, that we do declare the gospel and stand up for Jesus and live for him no matter how hard it gets. In our families and with our workmates, wherever it might be, help us to be strong in this and help us to encourage one another. And of course, we're so thankful to not only having brothers and sisters that help us, but we thank you for you, your spirit guiding and helping us too. And thank you for the great lessons we could learn tonight, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.